Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
The Lord Jesus Christ commands the New Testament church to go into all the world and make disciples. In Mark 16:15, Jesus said to his disciples, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The Great Commission in the book of Matthew says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." There is a huge distinction between a mere believer in Christ and one who becomes a disciple of our Lord. Remember that Jesus Christ loves you, but he does not want his children to ignore nor despise his commandments. Enjoy this wonderful series of messages entitled "The Cost of Being a Disciple," and learn what the distinction is between a mere believer and a follower of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hear us here on Freedom 95 every Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m., and join us this morning at 10 a.m. at the Cambria Hotel in Noblesville, Hamilton Hall Conference Room, exit 210 off of I-69, or find us on Facebook, YouTube, or our website under Crown of Life Baptist Church. email me at gdezula@gmail.com. That's gdezula, G-D-Z-U-L-A. I look forward to hearing from you soon. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. This is part one.
Turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You are a tripart being. That means just as there's the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit of the divinity. Oh, and some of the Bibles are trying to take that out of the scriptures. But you are a tripart being. Means you have three parts. Verse 23, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have a spirit, you have a soul, and you have a body. Your body, should the Lord tarry, dies, right? Even though you're saved, it dies. That physical body dies. There's three parts to salvation. We've been studying justification and sanctification. Justification is you were saved. Sanctification is you're being saved through the washing of God's word. That's the walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. But then there's glorification, which is you will be saved. Your body will be saved someday at the resurrection. And that body will come back out of the graves and be renewed. So there's salvation isn't, it has three aspects. You were saved in the past. You're being saved by sanctification, and you, which deals with the soul. And the body will be saved at the day of salvation, the day of the resurrection of the body. So that's saved there. There's another passage. Let's see if I could find that one. Ladies, you should know this passage. The one that says that you are saved in childbearing. You ever see that passage? You're saved in childbearing. How am I saved in childbearing? That's talking about sanctification. That is your suffering. That is your suffering. Bringing a child into this world is your suffering. That saved is equivalent to this saved right here. It's not the same saved that we see in Ephesians chapter 2 or in Romans chapter 10. This saved here is an enduring saved. This is the saved in the process, in the walk. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth, he that doesn't faint to the end shall be saved. Does that make sense? There is an aspect here. You can't lose your salvation. You can't lose your eternal salvation. Verse 23, but when they persecute you in this city, flee ye unto another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Ye are the of the household of God. If they call Jesus Beelzebub, they're going to call you the devil. Fear them not. Therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetop. The fear of them that kill the body, fear not them which kill the body, but are able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Verse 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. In America, it's very easy to confess Christ, isn't it? Go down to the gay pride parade and try to do that. Go into a communist country, North Korea, and do that. Go into a Muslim country and do that. We have no idea what believers are going through in those countries. Whosoever therefore will confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. That's a scary thing. Think not that I am come to... Wait a minute. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. What does that mean? Did Jesus come to cut off people's heads? No, but the words of Jesus may get your head cut off. And worse, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am not come to set man at variance against, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother. And the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Sorry, Ellen. She just came back from a wedding, and I spoiled it. And the man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. That cannot be salvation dealing with the Spirit. Because it says in the Bible, believe by faith. This has to be dealing with sanctification, being a disciple, dealing with rewards. Don't want to break the pulpit. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Jesus rebuked the church in the book of Revelation in Ephesians, says, ye left your first love. Your first love is the Lord Jesus Christ. How many people are saved today and are on the baseball field instead of church with their sons and daughters? He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Deny Christ, despair your life. You will lose it, not eternally, but you're not going to get the rewards. You're not going to hear, well done. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it, and he will hear, well done. He that receiveth you receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. See how this all boils down to rewards? He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Verse 42, and whosoever shall give drink to one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his what? Reward. So, the demands upon a disciple appear impossible. But what is impossible for us is possible with God. There's nothing that is impossible. And he gives us the strength. He gives us the endurance. He gives us the armor of God that we need in the time of battle. So then let's start up here with section 2. Demands upon a disciple appear impossible. And we did go through Matthew chapter 10. But I want to point out in verse 22, Matthew 10, 22, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Well, that's not fun. I wasn't told that when I first got saved. That wasn't part of the, and I'm saying this facetious, I'm not being unreverent, but that wasn't part of the agreement when I first got saved. I didn't see that in the gospel tract. But when you continue in God's word and you draw close, you will find that you will develop more enemies or people who dislike you. Wow, I didn't know that was going to happen when I first got saved. But I want to continue in the Lord's word. And I don't want people to dislike me and hate me. But that's the Bible said that's going to happen. And I have seen it in my walk with the Lord. But it says here, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And we talked about how there is a difference in that salvation, that word saved, versus the saved by, not by works, by faith only. This is telling us, you better endure those things that people are going to hate you for my name's sake. And it tells you that in verse 21, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the child shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be what? Put to death. That wasn't in the initial prescription when I got that, when I got saved. I didn't see that. But as we continue in God's word, it doesn't mean you're going to lose your salvation if you don't endure these hardships, but you're not going to be part of the kingdom. I was doing a study yesterday working on another message, and you have to understand, there we talked about last week, saved, there is salvation that speaks to justification, three parts to salvation. Salvation of justification of the spirit, salvation of sanctification of the soul, and salvation of the body, glorification. And I was doing this study and I thought, well, you know, this is for another lesson, but this bears this point out. I was just doing this word sleep. The word sleep in the Bible. Okay? All of us woke up this morning and came to church, right? You were sleeping, right? You went to sleep last night. You slept through the night, hopefully. And you are here, you woke up. That is our common everyday usage of the word sleep. And the Bible uses that from time to time about those who fall asleep. It talks, we have various passages where Jesus was praying in the garden and all the disciples fell asleep, right? They fell asleep and Jesus tried to wake them up one time, two times, you know, and they just fell asleep. They didn't know the urgency of the hour. Then the Bible also uses the word sleep when somebody who believes in Christ died. What did Jesus say about Lazarus? These things saith he, and after he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, that they thought that he had spoken of taking of a rest in sleep. So Jesus was speaking about his death, and they thought he was speaking about what you and I did. We slept. When we're sick, isn't it good to sleep? When we can get sleep and it helps us rest and get stronger. But he was speaking of his death. There's two meanings for sleep in the Bible. But now I'm going to give you a third. So you have to understand, you have to read words in their context. And understand here that this salvation endureth to the end shall be saved is not speaking about salvation by faith. This is sanctification. This is speaking of salvation into the kingdom. Here is your third use of the word sleep. And we have been talking about this in dealing with the consecration at the time of the Lord. And I've been dealing with and this morning's message on the radio about being watchful, being prepared and being ready for the return of the Lord. And Romans 13:11 says, know that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Well, what does that sleep mean? What does that sleep mean? Does that mean wake up from death? Does it mean wake up and get out of bed? No, that's speaking of a spiritual sleep, that we go into a sleep means we're not watchful for the return of the Lord. We're disregarding the things of the Lord when we need to be patient and continue in our faith. It means we stop going to church. We stop reading our Bibles. We stop praying. That is the spiritual aspect of sleep. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? There's two. So you got to read, and I have a lot more verses I don't want to go into because this is really for another lesson. There is three applications for the word sleep, and you got to check the context. So here in Matthew chapter 10, that save there has to have a different context because the Bible says, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But I thought Jesus, it was a gift that Jesus gave me, salvation as a gift. This is a different salvation. Turn your Bibles to Timothy. This verse, I mentioned it last week. I dug it up for you, dug it up now so we can look at it. In Timothy, 1 Timothy 2:15. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in the faith, and charity and holiness with sobriety. Saved in childbearing? That's speaking about the same salvation that we see here endures to the end. This is the suffering, the woman's suffering in childbearing will save her. That's part of her suffering. That's part of ruling and reigning with Christ. That's not talking about her physical being saved from death, because women died in childbearing all through the ages, though they were holy and chaste and lived with sobriety. But this is speaking about, this is her suffering. This is part, her suffering is the suffering of bringing a child into the world. So let's look at Matthew 16 here now. Second bullet point under Roman numeral 2. Then said Jesus unto his disciples. Always important to see who Jesus is talking to when we're trying to get the context of his message. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Okay? For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. There's an interesting application of the word save there. Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. What is that talking about? Is that the same salvation, not by works, but by faith? No, this is talking about the kingdom, salvation, sanctification. This is talking about following and being a disciple. If you deny Christ to spare your life, you will lose it.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.